Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, welcome to the Out of Spec podcast. It's Christmas here in the majestic halls of Out of Spec Studios, and I'm joined tonight by Kyle Connor, Ben Green, and Mike Breeling. And we're going to talk about tow charging, Ford's vehicle-to-vehicle charging, some overlanding adventures we've been having, plus the new BMW M240i and the plug-in hybrid X5 we've been living with, and who knows what else. So let's jump right in. Kyle and I just went off-roading with Timon in his GX, which is awesome. We have a new video on a new channel, Out of Spec Overlanding, and you can see what all we got into there, including some things that went wrong. Not with us, but there was a case of a taco sandwich. Is that a thing? Tacoma hitting a Tacoma.
It was pretty bad.
Here, I have the visuals here if you're watching on YouTube. It's brand new Tacoma, 3 months old. And it's just smashed a little bit, but so that's the case.
Well, let's talk about that, because it's more than just smashed. The guy was smashed too.
Yeah. Ooh. I didn't get a picture of the door, but he put his truck in park allegedly, which we speculate it was on a hill, a steep hill, and he may have been like 3, 4, 5 miles an hour when he actually put it in the park. So who knows if it actually engaged? He did say he heard like crazy grinding. And then the truck just started moving. He was outside of his truck. So his truck started moving forwards down the hill towards the truck in front of it, which that's another issue, is he only left half a truck length between them, which is bad on a trail downhill with snow and ice involved. And he also didn't engage the parking brake. And then he also tried to run to save his truck. And if a Tacoma is running downhill, you don't run towards it.
You're not going to stop it. Heavy car.
Yeah, but this was a really unfortunate situation.
Yeah, so he tried to essentially get into the truck to stop it, but at that point the truck had already kind of also leaned to the left, and he was effectively kind of crushed. Not crushed, he's okay, but
there's a tree.
Yeah, the truck hit a tree, dented his door really bad. He was on the other side of that dent trying to get into his truck. It was just
Basically, truck's moving. He's got the door open. As the thing's moving forward, it's coming up on a tree. He gets slammed between the door and the cab as the truck hits the door against the tree. And then thankfully at the same time, it slams into the Tacoma in front, because if it didn't, he would have gotten hurt way worse. And he was pretty beat up. Like when we heard the crash and then like kind of looked over that way, like he was like laid out on the ground. Like this dude got freaking squished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bruised for sure. So
can you go back to that picture? That first one that you pulled up real quick.
Yeah. Let me pull this up here.
For those of us who are watching, I just want to bring a quick pause to the attention of over to the left hand side of your screen. That guy's sweatshirt is pretty awesome. It does suck for the Tacomas involved. Luckily, they're pretty resilient cars.
Well, it's a good thing he was a half car length away and not like 8 car lengths away. It would have had some serious speed by then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The other Tacoma barely had a dent. We show the entire damage, everything like that, in the video on YouTube. And so that's all there. You can see the other truck stuff. It's on Out of Spec Overlanding, and it's the video title is to do with buying a Lexus GX and taking it to the trails.
Yeah, but we had a great variety, a lot of Jeeps, GX, of course. Well, we were the only GX. A lot of Tacomas, even a first-gen, what's the bigger, Toyota Tundra.
Yeah, Tundra, yep.
Yeah, on newer wheels. It looked really good, actually.
It really did.
But yeah, fun time, very cold, lots of snow and cold. Ice, and still the Lexus just paved through. So
I was going to say, worth. So the Lexus handled it all with aplomb, right? This was
well, it broke.
Well, this is after the lift, right? After time and self installed the lift on it.
Well, so the no issues with the lift. I don't think any of that. I think that time installed it well. But we lost power steering and there's no fluid left in there. Truck sitting out in front of my house now. And afterwards, I think he may have bent a lower control arm or something because he was driving down the highway like this going straight. So yeah. I'm pretty sure the clip that that happened in was when he slammed into a rock at like 6,000 RPM. Like, and that's all in the video. You can see all the crazy, crazy stuff. But I got to tell you, that vehicle is built solid, 215,000 miles, not a squeak, not a rattle, revs out so smooth. You guys have one too. You know it really well. I mean, love it. Just, I'm coming around to the GX thing.
It's I was just going to say, ours with just 72,000 miles on it is the same way. So it's just good to know that when that car eventually hits over 200,000 miles, which might be many, many, many years from now, it should be exactly the same as it is now. We actually want to get it back so we can go back to Uari with it.
We're getting a lift kit installed on it as we speak. Just a little 2-inch in the front because I already messed with the airbags in the rear to get height. So we're going to level it off now.
Well, that'll be interesting to talk. We need to get these two GXs together because their Timon's car is a full airbag replacement and adaptive damper replacement situation. No warning codes by doing that, by the way. He pulled 3 fuses and the car doesn't even pull up anything. It's pretty cool.
The car doesn't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't even blink the little off light next to the height adjust.
It's just impressive. Totally as normal.
That's great.
Wrong here.
It was rough riding, sort of. I mean, we had nice leather seating and, you know, great. It was great to be inside the nice warm Lexus on the freezing cold trail. I think we were a bit more comfortable than some others on the trail, but it was impressive. So I was gonna say, Ben and Mike, when are you gonna bring it out here? Because we got some great trails we're exploring.
I think sometime in the new year we'll definitely try and do that. I don't know if I'm tempted to try and do it with snow because I just want to drive in the snow for no other reason than that. But yeah, it might be better to go during nice weather so that we actually enjoy doing what we're gonna do with it rather than just be miserable but do donuts. You know, both are okay, I think.
And Kyle, you can bring the Sprinter.
Sprinter's not good off-road.
It looks the part, but not really acts the part.
It's honestly really bad off-road, actually.
Yeah, I saw you. I remember your little sand adventure.
Not good. Let's not go there.
Sprinter versus Miata. What's going to be worse?
I see lifted Miatas do like the Gambler 500 all the time, and they seem pretty good. Or Hoopty Cross. So, I don't know. My money's on the Miata.
Yeah, so I kept thinking the entire time when we were out on the trail because, you know, we're really going to get more into off-roading this year coming up. I mean, look, I'm not the best off-road driver. My style is wide open throttle and momentum, but I want to learn more. I want to get into winching and, you know, learn the proper way to hook things up with snatch blocks and using a double pull to get twice the torque and sharing, you know, sort of our journey along with the audience. I also want to hire someone who is really, really good at off-roading to sort of, you know, be the anchor presenter for Overlanding. But I kept thinking the entire time, how cool would it be to have a Rivian out here? Like something.
I know.
Yeah.
I thought just the same thing.
Yep. it's going to be the right size. It's going to be cool. We could have pulled out the camp kitchen and cooked for everyone out there because we did. I got to tell you this. When I go off-roading, when it's just like a friends and I, we're like, we're out, we're driving, we're hitting the trails, and we're done. This was a lot of standing around talking to people. So
yeah,
you need something to entertain.
Yeah.
This trail's 6 miles. That'll take us 2 hours. Great. No problem. And it was like all day. We're like, it's getting dark out.
Yeah, I wish I had that camp kitchen for that. Just over there cooking, whipping up some scrambled eggs. I don't know what else, but that
popcorn,
fresh coffee,
Rivian popcorn.
Yeah, the coffee supplies in that camp kitchen are really impressive. So that's I would love to do a coffee tutorial out of the side of a Rivian, just explaining all the different brewing methods and everything.
So, I am very much into the Rivian lifestyle.
Me too.
Totally love it.
Yeah. But also, so successful sort of off-roading other than poor power steering and maybe a lower control arm.
Yeah, but can we also mention Timon's driving, how awesome he did?
He nailed it, yeah. And it was incredible to see how timid some of these people were, even the ones with trucks that looked already beat up. And Timon just sent it, but in a really good way. It wasn't like blind... Although we couldn't really see some places because you just can't see over the front of the car. But the car took it and Timon sent it. And it was, he's got a good future ahead of him.
Yeah, I was impressed with his driving and just sort of picking the right lines and just, hammered down with me screaming at him, keep it pinned!
I'm surprised he hasn't broken a diff. I think the rear diff on those is known to be the weak point, and everyone's like, just throw in the electric locker from a 4Runner when you break it. So I'm curious to see the video, see how hard he was going.
Well, we should...
It'll give me a little more confidence in ours.
Well, I think the whole idea here is once the channel's really up and running, which seems like it's going to happen soon, I actually really want to test products for the GX. Let's get an aftermarket diff in review unit or something like that, throw it in there, find some tests to do stuff, and let's build it with some cool partners. Because at the end of the day, this is a far out dream, but it's sort of in the back of my head. I'd love to be able to offer more than just videos to our audience. I want to offer stuff. And so, especially when it comes to overlanding, which I think is like the new trend for the next 10 years in our country, have like the Rivian overlanding package to get you the right winch with the right max tracks, and like you can just buy the thing from us, but we don't know what to do. We got to test everything. So I'd love to start testing, sort of Obsessed Garage style, try it, use it, find the best, and then sell that to your friends.
Yeah, we realized winch is probably the best first thing to have with someone who's going off-roading.
I was gonna say traction boards would be my first one because they're like $50. I mean, cheap ones are $50. Good ones.
We have good ones.
If they only need to work once, $50 is fine.
Yeah. Well, we have the $300, Max Tracks, the good ones, the RV. Yeah. And we snapped one.
Underneath what? They're pretty hard to bring.
You a new one, I think.
We were working these things out there, Ben. We were serious off roading.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to have to warranty it. I think they have a replacement thing.
Yeah.
They do, I think. They definitely do. I can definitely speak to the winching part at least because I have been a member of a group who was using a winch incorrectly. And so I know what you're not supposed to do now.
That's
very learned cool. A lot from that. I put a hole in the tailgate of my friend's brand new TRD Pro truck with like 800 miles on it. Because
was that with the winch... LR4?
Yes, this is a good story, in fact. While at work, we just weren't working. And so all of us just went and did stuff. There's an off-road trail nearby. A friend took an LR4, went through some of it. That was quite fun. Then there was this big valley with a river kind of at the base of it. We're like, oh, yeah, that's definitely too much. And he's like, no, the Land Rover can do it. I'm like, no, that's definitely too much. Like, everyone agreed that was too much. And he just went into it, of course, and got the whole thing stuck, like just buried axles deep. And when we tried to pull it out with a winch on a truck, now I know what those blanket type things you put over a rope bar on the heavy bits are so that they don't go flying, because those things can poke a hole through steel.
Winching real good scares hole. Me to no end. And Jordan, you were with us. We found a guy with a first gen Touareg V8, a nice car, lift kit, same one that the Cayenne guys use, same one that we were putting on Scott's Cayenne. And he was winching up, and then his like dog standing next to the winch, and people are around. And I'm like, I'm getting the way the hell away from this thing. and like the tree's stressed and the winch is stressed because he's like stuck in there. I'm like, this is sketchy. And I'm like trying to get the dog to come over here. And thankfully nothing happened. But yeah, that was like everyone who uses a winch has to watch the 1996 Range Rover winching course. And thankfully I had watched it the day before. And so yes. I was very aware and scared of the danger because it was fresh in my mind.
Kyle was the subject matter expert on hand about winches.
Except I'd never used one before.
That's how you know you really have an expert. I watched a video the day before, so I know more than anyone else here, unfortunately. That means the bar was set low.
Yeah, but that was the case. So, I knew you want to let the line come out on the spool so it has more torque on the drum. And so I had a general knowledge of winching after that, but that was great. Land Rover has the best informational off-road videos. I wish they would get into it again, because I think the last 10 years they've stopped producing anything fun.
Well, I feel like Defender-wise they've been doing a good bit
Defender,
of stuff.
Yeah, I haven't seen much on it. Interesting.
Well,
nice Defender 90 the other day. It looked really good on big chunky tires and a lift and all the racks and stuff. It was really nice. Black, though. It was interesting, but it looked good in black.
Yeah.
Every time I see one, I want one.
Yeah,
same. I know. Why do Every time. There's too many cars that I want. I keep thinking to myself, there's like nothing interesting out there, but then it's the off-roaders I want.
Yeah, pretty much right now. I mean,
I think sports cars, the enthusiasm for sports cars is dying as quickly as the enthusiasm for adventure vehicles is growing.
I don't know about that. I think there's a lot of interest in the entry market of sports cars. I think a lot of people are kind of bored of seeing, another $98,000 BMW M3 type thing, which is a ZF8 speed.
Yeah,
you know, M3's just that stuff is interesting.
Too expensive.
Veloster N and cars of that category, I think, are really interesting.
BRZ.
BRZ, yeah, that's a good one.
But yeah, I think the breadth of people getting into overlanding is wide, like more than I expected. Most people I've talked to, even if they don't have an overlander or don't even have plans immediately, it's something they would love to embark on at some point. More so than I think people who are like, most people just rule out sports cars because they're like, oh, that'd be fun, but it's like a third or fourth car. Versus a lot of people I talk to are like, actually, an overlander could be my like daily. And then I could also take it on trails because it, by definition, they typically have more space. They're bigger vehicles. And then there's me who wants a two-door Wrangler. So you know, I'm breaking all the stereotypes.
Well, I mean, I think some of that too is you can bring your family on an overlanding trip, whereas in a sports car, you can't necessarily bring your whole family or even a dog on a weekend trip, whereas you can go out in the middle of the woods, just drive out down a trail, set up camp, be off the grid, disconnect, and just spend some quality time with your
family. Or you're like me, antennas out the roof, trying to get every last bit of signal.
Hold on. I had a bar for a second.
Yeah. I got 4 feet.
Yep.
Yeah, I like blowing people's minds like that. I took a month-long trip in the Miata, had all my stuff, and then without planning on it, took Kyle and his stuff back to Colorado with me. And we still fit and didn't have to keep anything in the cabin with us. Everything was in my two trunks.
And we drove through many snowstorms.
Yep, 3 snowstorms on summer tires. Yep. Overnight, it was legendary.
That was one of the worst best trips we've ever done.
I was gonna say legendary is one word for it, but it wouldn't be mine.
So after our off-roading adventures, we headed back up north to go film and ended up filming something we didn't expect. Our friend Drew was with us. He was in his Model 3 and he was heading to back down to go charge. He arrived at the trailhead with very low state of charge, I think. I don't remember what it was, but...
Yeah, I think he got up. So, yeah, he basically drove up from Denver and, you know, I guess was like, oh, I'll charge on the way back into town. And so he got up to the mountains with 15% state of charge or so. And I was like, okay, that's fine. We'll just run into Estes Park to charge or whatever afterwards. And then we drove a little bit extra because Drew thought there was a level 2 station that we couldn't find at the time. So we burned probably 5% there. So the car sat with 10%. Then as he was driving to go back to Denver, the road was closed. And he was like, there's no way I can make it up and the detour. And so
he drove back uphill and then ended up finding a charge point. Kind of
the original one we were looking for.
Yeah. Found that. And he was at literally 0% state of charge. And the charge point was bricked. So somehow he found, he had no cell service, but he found this little like gift shop thing that had Wi-Fi, and then he was able to Wi-Fi call Kyle just as we got into cell service, saying, "I am stuck." He was plugged into a 110, so he could have charged in like 3 days.
It's not a life or death situation, yeah. But he could have stayed there enough to get to Estes Park overnight, probably.
But yeah, so me and Kyle had the X5, and it was like, Drew had tow straps. So it was like, oh, we'll just tow charge him. So it was a fun experiment, and we were genuinely curious as to what would happen, like how far would we have to tow him to generate what sort of range with the regenerative braking. So we had Drew put it 100% regen in track mode.
Yep, and then in track mode.
We towed. I sat in the Model 3 with Drew. It was like 30 degrees inside the car because we couldn't really run the heater or anything. And like even as Kyle walked away, the window almost stopped rolling up. Like it was both cold and dead. And then Kyle in EV mode in this plug-in hybrid X5 started towing us. And
I was matted in EV mode for like 10 minutes. I don't know, for a long time.
Because the X5's what, like 6,000 pounds, 5,000 something?
Yeah.
And has 130 horse or 113 horsepower in EV mode, pulling a Model 3 that is using maximum regen. So it's like, that's a lot of.
This is the thing. It's the motors mounted on the X5, the electric motor, between the combustion engine and the transmission. So it takes advantage of the gearing. So it was running like first, second gear, and we were getting all the multiplication of torque down to the wheels. And that's a benefit of having, you know, the BMW's motor set up the way it is. It's got great torque down low. So like this thing launches off the line in EV mode, like nothing.
Yeah.
And it was awesome until we got to a mountain pass where it was just, dropping. And then I put it in combustion mode and we got it up to 40, 50 miles an hour and just like 4,000 or 5,000, 6,000 RPM, just wah! In the X5. And just getting all the energy into the Tesla.
Yeah, it was kind of scary being that close to the X5 in the Model 3 because Drew kept instinctively wanting to like brake because he's like 6 feet behind another car, but we did it. But yeah, this is
that's fairly close.
Very beautiful place to break down, I guess. But yeah,
it's cold.
So we ended up towing, the full video is on Out of Spec Reviews, but we ended up towing him 3.4 miles, which generated 9%. It went from 0 to 9.
Pretty good.
Which is
like a 10-to-1 ratio of range.
Yep. So I kind of question the 9% because that's 9% indicated by the BMS, which if you're, charging that much, pack voltage is higher. Of course, it's not just reading voltage. I bet it was closer to 7% actual. But either way, 3 miles of driving for 30 miles of range, roughly.
Yeah. And then he drove to Estes and still had, so we only used 5% in the like 15 miles to get to Estes, or actually 20 miles.
Downhill at that point.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a success. It was intriguing and it worked. So at about 9%, right when we pulled over to unlatch, because he didn't need it to be towed anymore, the regen did disable itself. It said it was like too hot or something. So we're curious if we had dialed regen back off of 100 to like 60, 70 something, maybe it would have lasted longer, but then how many miles would we have charged? Like, I don't know where that, how it would do that calculation. But it still worked in a pinch.
Really a great situation all around. The X5's a machine. I'm really into this X5. You guys know I hate plug-in hybrids fundamentally. And I'm
and actually, yet there are so many good ones, unfortunately.
And yet there's so many good ones. And like the Volvo stuff's the one to get, and this is the one to get. And now, I've never really lived with a plug-in hybrid, so we're going to work on this with Audi, potentially spending a few months with one. But I think the use case of a plug-in hybrid for me actually like kind of makes a lot of sense, because most of my driving on Monday to Friday, or we don't really work weekdays or weekends, but the normal general time is I'm go from here to Starbucks, I come back, I plug back in. I go from here to lunch, I come back, I plug back in. And so it works, and it's maybe not as efficient as driving my smart car around the city, but it's still on electric and it's still fine. And my electricity is cheap, so whatever. And then sometimes I take a road trip and it's like, oh, I got to drive 1,500 miles to Los Angeles, like by tomorrow. So it works.
It is funny, mm-hmm. Kyle. So the X5 has a 24 kilowatt hour battery with roughly 16 usable. So
yeah, 17 usable.
Huge buffer. And you get about 30, a little over 30 miles of like city driving. I just tested it.
33.6.
Nice. Yeah.
In an urban environment.
Yeah. So very usable, but the charging is what is pretty abysmal on that. And it was funny to me how Kyle was, every place we went, he would plug it in. And I was like, Kyle, we're going to be here 15 minutes. You know, at 3.6 kilowatts, that is just nothing. And he's like, no, just plugging it in.
Plug it in everywhere.
I'm the guy that I hate. When I roll up to a charger and I see a bolt plugged in, I'm like, idiot. Meanwhile, here I am in the X5 plugging it in.
Yeah, but it worked. I mean, it's still a good car, and we were impressed. The more we drove it, the more we were impressed by it. The only thing, maybe one of the only things that was a downside was the highway MPG. Although when I think about the size and weight of the SUV, it's really not terrible. It was like mid-20s, 26 or so. But we also, the steering isn't great, but that's nothing new with most modern BMWs. Yeah. Not a fan.
Yeah, but with an SUV, at least it's light. Like, it's not meant to be. Like, the 2 Series steering, I think, is inexcusable. The X5 steering, it's not, people aren't really going to, especially on the plug-in hybrid, kind of drive it that
Yeah.
high. But it's still annoying. Like, BMWs works, should be the driver's choice.
Yeah, it works for most people, but that's not who's buying this car. It's not like every single person is going to buy this car. It's the steeper price tag, which should give you more things. And it does. The power plant is great. That inline 6 turbo plus the electric power side of it, it's so good.
It's so much better than the Volvo plug-in hybrids. I hate to say it because I'm a Volvo guy. BMW is just smoking everyone on plug-in hybrids, I think.
Well, the Volvo plug-in hybrids we like, but they're a little underpowered in their electric mode, unfortunately.
Yeah, and now the biggest issue with them are better, but then like they try and remove options from you, which is the BMW. I can go like, I want this suspension. I can go ESP off in electric mode. I can get all the button configurations.
Yeah.
I get all wheel drive in electric mode, which the Volvo stuff you can't do. If you get wheel spin in a Volvo, it instantly turns the engine on. In the X5, you can do donuts in electric mode in the snow and it doesn't care.
These are fringe cases, but I agree with them strongly.
these are the cases that would never play into a review of mine, but play into my buying decision.
Yeah, there's reviewing for the general population and there's reviewing for Kyle. And what would he buy and why would he buy it?
This X5 is going to stay in the back of my head for a long time. I wouldn't be surprised if I own one of these one day, just for Alyssa to drive and transport dogs around and use as a tow vehicle. It can tow quite a bit. 6,000 pounds, I think, almost. It's like a lot.
All right.
That is pretty good.
Enough to tow a car. And yeah, it's like looks good. I think it's the best looking BMW on sale. Really, really into the X5 45E
M. Does yours have the air suspension or the standard suspension?
And it just slams on the ground. It's great.
Okay, good. Because I had a X5, I guess the 40i, just that engine with no electric motor. I mean, mild hybrid. So like it would coast with the engine off and some kind of cool things. And it had the coils, and I just thought the ride was awful.
It was.
It didn't ride well, and it was all jiggly and kind of did this like top shimmy over bumps, and I was really like, impressed.
Not with this suspension.
Oh, air. So you got to go air. That's what it sounds like.
Air.
This air and was incredible. Jordan
even took it off-roading. Like,
I did.
Explain what happened. It was the same day that the guy crashed the Tacoma. Everything's happening on this day.
Yeah, so I took the X5 to meet Kyle, Timon, and Drew. And, you know, it's on these big 21-inch wheels with summer tires.
315 millimeter wide summer tire.
Yep. And I pull up to this trail and there's all these off-road vehicles, but I didn't see the GX. So I was like, oh, they must have gone up the trail a ways. I've never been here before. So I went, the pin Timon sent me actually was a few miles up the trail maybe, or at least a mile or two. So I was like, oh, I'll just go meet them up there. So I go driving by in this very clean mint X5 that looks completely out of place. And all these
New Jersey license plates,
all these rigs are just looking at me. And then one guy's laughing and I just go down the trail and it was so comfortable. I'm so glad I didn't pop a tire because there's a lot of crazy rocks and stuff, but I was very careful with the lines. I was like, let's see how this goes. and I put it in the maximum lift mode. So I had ample ground clearance. Places where I genuinely thought I was going to scrape didn't. The breakover angle was always better than I expected. It looks so good. Like even in places where it shouldn't be, like the proportions, this is peak kidney grill, in my opinion. Like this is, I just love it how it looks. And it's a nice deep gray color. I like it more than I expected. And I don't know if I'd own one, but you know, I see why people do. I get it.
It's the perfect car for your wife who has to drive kids to school that you can then borrow and have fun with.
Yep.
So speaking of cars, you're not sure if you want to own or not. So you guys also just had the BMW M240, the new one, right? The redesign.
The brand new one.
White one.
Oh, yeah.
So I am not sure about the design of this car. The front end, I actually don't mind, but I think the taillights bother me a lot.
They look upside down. They're upside down.
They're upside down.
And I know
down.
The interior will be nice, but yeah, see, and they're kind of like, as I've seen some angles, they look like they're sticking out, like 3D effect.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. They just look weird.
They are sticking out.
Look at the left taillight right here.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
How far it is actually sticking out. It's crazy.
I feel like most angles of this car make me think I'm looking at some sort of like, look at the future model, whatever, that someone rendered on a computer. It's not connected to the actual brand in any way.
Civic.
Yeah, it's some guy on Instagram designed what he thinks the new one looks like, and it's like, this is what it looks like. It just looks like a weird rendering of a car. Because some of the proportioning seems wrong. Like the hood, actually, I can't believe I'm saying this, but the hood looks kind of long, and the wheelbase looks kind of long for what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost got like not enough front, I don't know. I'm so confused looking at it. It's hard because
I genuinely think as a whole, it looks good. But when I look at individual pieces of it, I'm not as much of a fan anymore.
So I know the last gen 2 Series was, it actually looked good, and it was probably the best handling car BMW's made in a long time. Now, you both have driven this one. Does it still handle really well, or is it just bad all the way around now?
Kyle drove it most of yesterday morning, so I'll let him answer that.
Well, yeah, so we woke up yesterday morning and went for a Sunday morning. Well, this podcast doesn't come. We record a couple days earlier. We went for a Sunday morning cruise in this car up in the canyons, my normal loop, and it was a mix of just full on sliding it around, just off the rev limiter, really driving it, you know, how a BMW should be driven. And
yeah,
then like
great motor.
Like the 7/10, like I think like typical guy going for a cruise in his sporty car type driving, and it was great at the 7/10, that 3,000 to 5,000 RPM rev band, that meaty torque curve where it just sounds awesome. The inline six makes this special little growl around there. It gave all the right sensations you would want from a fun car. Styling look, it's not a huge thing for me. I think the last one looked way better all around, but it's still a great looking car. The back end, front looks great to me. The back end, yeah, still not sold on those taillights. Interior wise, great, no issues. You can slide around. Ours was an xDrive M240, which I believe is the only configuration you can get at launch. The four cylinder will be rear wheel drive. Then they'll have xDrive and rear wheel for both later. BMW does this for every model. And I got to say, like, from an enthusiast driving perspective, the car is still pretty good. It's you can hammer up roads way too fast. You can throttle steer it. So you're coming out of corners with opposite lock. And the xDrive does try to shuffle power to the front, but you can still hang the tail out. Like, we were getting it on gravel, like, wah! And it was like really good. It's got a great rev limiter. It's the first BMW that doesn't just fall into a rev limiter. It goes, bop, 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 bop. Is pretty cool.
That's exciting.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. But no pops out the exhaust, but the M440i with the same engine was crackling and popping like a war zone. So what's up with that?
Yeah. Okay.
So that's quite odd. And the M440i was the mild hybrid drivetrain. This wasn't. So I wonder if the mild hybrids get the pops because they're offset by the mild hybrid stuff. And doesn't.
Those grams of CO2 per kilometer we saved.
Yeah,
taken care of with the pots.
That's a Euro thing, though. So I think it probably has to come down to some emissions related reasoning.
It must.
Yeah, but you can tune this thing whatever you want. The transmission didn't shift as hard. It doesn't fart shift on the upshifts. Like, it wasn't as aggressive as a drivetrain as the M440i, but I think it makes the same exact horsepower, whatever. Driving it hard was like 10 tens. That's where I was like, oh, kind of like steering's really numb. And I was like, it's good. But then like cruising at 7 tenths, like we took it up another road that's a little bit more flowy, higher speed. And we're just like talking in the car, driving, you know, still pretty quick, but that's where it shined, was like, wow, if you just want to cover distance quickly on a twisty road, you know, sort of open the sunroof, listen to the exhaust on the rock faces, the canyons, really enjoyable at that, had to say. And then daily driving, like I picked up this car at the airport at like 1 o'clock in the morning when I landed and had to just slog it up to Fort Collins, you know, an hour and a bit up here, just sat on the highway, sound system to max, sounded pretty good. Adaptive cruise control is great. No lane centering, which I thought was a little bit disappointing. You know, give me all the good driver assistance. No reason not to.
I'm surprised that they would omit that.
It pushes you back in if you hit a lane. Like, just stay in the middle of the lane for me. Like every other BMW does. Why isn't this one? So could be an optional extra, but this one doesn't have it. I haven't built one out, but I was like, yeah, but like every other BMW gets all the driver assistance stuff. Overall, very positive impression. If I was buying one, I would buy the last generation, though.
And M2. Yes.
No, I don't like it, because then you get the S55 motor, which doesn't sound as good as the B58 or the N55. So I would get,
I'd still take the CS.
There's a sweet spot in the M2, which is the first year of the LCI still had the N55 engine before they put the M3 engine in it. And that's the sweet spot. Manual rear wheel drive, a N55 engine and manual. Sounds great. Sounds way better than the S. Like, remember my M3? I hated the way it sounded.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It's terrible, actually. And then the non-M motors sound great. Yep.
Yeah, the regular 340s always sounded so much better. Yep. It was crazy.
The same situation. So that's the sweet spot 2 Series, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we decided.
So would you buy the M440 or the M240?
I don't think I'd buy either of them.
Well, if you had to choose. I don't think you personally.
I don't think you really gain much with the 2 Series that you don't get with the 4 Series. The thing that the 2 Series did, though, which is its point, is it kind of makes you drive like an idiot. You're like, oh, I can fit there.
Oh, because it's tiny, yeah.
Yeah, it's small and nimble, and you could chuck it around. And like, I'm like driving around the city, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to turn right into Starbucks. Wide open throttle, big angle.
So yeah, a lot more fun.
It made me drive a little bit more like a teenager than the 440i did.
Yeah, the xDrive is pretty confidence inspiring. Like, we decided it is like a pretty good one car solution for, I don't know, a young professional like who can't even drive at 10 tenths. Like, maybe the 7 tenths is like the max they do, and they have one car, they want an all-wheel drive, they want something sporty, a two-door coupe, but having the back seats, which I did ride around the back seat for about 2 hours and I was totally fine. Although I was like 5'10" or 5'9", I would have been perfect. I was just like hitting the roof a little bit. But it was,
I would fit.
Yeah. But yeah, great.
Great one car solution.
Yeah. For a lot of people,
single guy or a couple with no kids, no dogs or anything like that, is into cars, just, you know, got a professional job, whatever, out of college or something. You lease one of these for $5.99 a month or whatever they go out for. Not a bad move.
Yeah.
So the ultimate leasing machine, BMW.
Yeah. So something else I wanted to bring up kind of on the tail end of our tow charging experience is something else that could have been a solution maybe in the future. Ford just this week has announced the vehicle-to-vehicle charging for F-150 Lightning, and also the F-150, is it Power Boost? That what's it called? The hybrid one.
The Power Boost hybrid.
So the ones with full Pro Power on board. And so this could have been another option if we happen to have an F-150 or someone did. And technically this would be I guess, safer. You can't always find yourself in an environment where tow charging is feasible, like a busy highway.
I think it's illegal.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Out in the boonies, sure, but this is a great alternative, and I love it. I mean, it's almost like bringing a charge point to you, just in the form of a lightning, which looks awesome.
Can I ask a question about this?
Yeah.
This is no different than when we had the F-150 Power Boost and plugged in an electric car to it.
That is what I was intrigued by. This press release was interesting because it's not really.
Wait, is this live now, by the way?
No.
No.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Until 6 a.m.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So,
because it's still pre-embargo at the time of recording.
Yeah.
Yes. Nope. Don't worry. We're good.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what's funny is like they.
Yeah, we need to fix this kilowatt hours thing already. I see.
This is already.
It carries a 7.2 kilowatt hour power.
Yeah, right. We'll spell check this one.
So yeah, the lightning.
I said to run a double check,
which is funny because Ford, like when I went to the launch and everything, they were like, "Yeah, you can do all these things," and they even mentioned, like, kind of in passing, that, "Yo, yeah, you could probably charge a car," but they never like officially said it, and now they're officially saying what we already knew. Which
is funny. I think what they're saying now is that they're. Ish is now loaded or rated for constant load at max power.
Mm-hmm. And they have their own what do you call it, the Ford
brand. Yeah, so that little adapter is literally just, you know, a 1430, you know, R to 1450.
Yeah
or it's, whatever they use. I think they use a 1030 connection.
It's a 1030.
But I don't know, it's still pretty cool. Actually, you know, way before this, TFL charged a zero in the back of F-150 Power Boost.
They also charged an i3 from it too. Mm-hmm. And then we got that truck after them and the charger was fried. Yep.
Wasn't rated yet.
Well, so that's the thing. Like, we, you know, had that truck a few weeks after them. I don't think it was them that did it, but like everyone was plugging stuff into that truck. When we got it, the 240 volt connection was broken and it didn't work at all.
Yeah, so hopefully that's worked out now. But it is interesting with the press release. They talk about the miles of range per hour you can charge all the Ford electric vehicles.
So now we can decipher efficiency.
Yeah, right there. So it'll charge a Mach-E rear-wheel drive extended range 20 miles per hour, or an F-150 Lightning 13 or 12 miles per hour.
It was 13.
And then the e-transit is 10 miles. Yeah, 13. And the e-transit would be 10 miles per hour, which is...
So the e-transit's way less efficient than the F-150, which is then way less efficient than the Mach-E. I didn't think about that in my head, but now it makes sense because the transit's really tall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is kind of perky.
The real question I think that we all want to know, though, is can you charge it F-150 Lightning off of itself? You won't gain any juice, but I want to try it so bad.
Ben, I think we have to try that.
Yeah, because I imagine that if you are charging that car, if you're charging your F-150 Lightning, it's not going to disable your Power Boost, you know, pro power on board, is it?
No, that wouldn't make
it. It would be annoying. That'd be annoying. Like, if I'm DC fast charging, I can't then, like, power my RV or whatever. I don't like that.
So basically, then we can look at the efficiency of their charging and discharging systems and then calculate that off of a charging session.
This is
brilliant. Just evaporated electricity for zero benefit. Look how much.
I put a little wear and tear on the electronics.
Yeah.
We're going to have people saying that we just invented perpetual motion.
But even more interestingly than this is Lucid can do this even faster because they can do 19.2 kilowatt out car to car with their new special cable. I don't know if it's fully released yet, but Lucid didn't tell me this. I heard it from a friend. So I'm going to say, 19.2 kilowatt. So 80 amp, 240 volt car to car. Good to go.
Pretty good. Really? These would make great AAA roadside assistance vehicles, either the Lightning or Power Boost. Hybrid. Yep.
I think Power Boost makes the most sense for that.
Yeah, for them, if they're just driving nonstop.
Yeah, I'm not convinced electric pickup trucks are going to work in practice. I really think plug-in hybrid and battery electric, plug-in hybrid and just regular series, you know, strong hybrids will be the best for, sort of trucks in general.
I think everyone's missing the mark with range extended pickup trucks. Why is it not a thing? It makes so much sense. Right, give me 50 kilowatt hours and throw whatever stupid V6 that no one really cares about in the front to be a generator and just do an I3 move.
Yep.
Except don't have it come on at 6%. Have it come on at like a configurable amount based off of load. So that it doesn't like die up a hill.
I don't know how that would work though, Ben, because the reason the i3 had to come out at 6% in our market was because the combustion range could not exceed
the longer
range, and it had to only kick on when dead in order to classify as an EV and therefore to get the tax credits. But now plug-in hybrids.
But tax credits are getting messed up anyway, so and plug-in hybrids get it, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. It sounds like that bill's not going through so easily. So it sounds like we're sticking with our current tax strategy, which I believe is based off of battery pack size now. Therefore, that would be considered a plug-in hybrid and still qualify for the 7,500 in Section 179 because it's a truck.
I think it makes so much sense. Business,
Yep.
That's why great idea. Could be good business trucks, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm excited to see them in the wild. I mean, we should, in theory, start seeing Lightnings Q2, I think they said, of 2022.
So, they have a whole bunch of test mules running around here in Colorado.
Yeah. So I think it's one of those things where we're just going to start seeing a lot of them because they seem to be pretty popular. But they did just cut their orders, their pre-orders at like, 200,000 or something like that? Just because they
said there's so many, we can't even make enough.
Yeah, for the foreseeable future.
I don't think pre-orders work for legacy automakers. Hyundai Ioniq 5, great example. People are like, I'm going to reserve one of those because I want them and then wait 2 years. That's dumb. What you got to do is call every Hyundai dealer and say, hey, you got any of these coming in? And the answer is they do. My dad's local dealer has 4 coming in and they're selling them at sticker. And I think we got all 4 sold to friends of ours. So...
I imagine your dad was getting one. I was waiting to hear about that.
Yeah, he is. And so, he's going to do matte gray with the white and green interior. It'll be pretty cool.
Is he doing the limited with the roof?
No limiteds available, only SELs.
I haven't really seen even the Tesla reservations work out beneficial because like Model 3, it meant you got like a couple of the early ones and then all of a sudden you could just get one like overnight. Like,
oh, you're at the dealer and you can take delivery today? Yeah, go get that one.
Yeah.
Yep.
But not now.
But don't worry, your Cybertruck reservation is important.
Yeah, that's right. You're a Cybertruck owner.
Mm-hmm. Owner, yes.
Yeah. I own.
I'm a pre-owner.
Pre-owner.
They had
they're
so
selling
many...
it to me for $39,000 like they promised.
Oh yeah.
They will honor my FSD pricing, even though I put in a reservation and not an order.
Did you guys see the other Cybertruck mules rolling around with the actual physical mirrors on the side?
And the big wiper?
I'm actually a fan of. I think it's cool. I'm about like the wiper. It's just interesting. It's from an engineering standpoint, I like it.
Wait, weren't they supposed to have laser beams?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
They're supposed to have a lot of things. Too, so good luck, Cyberlander.
Yeah. let's not go there again.
My least favorite thing in a car is to clean a windshield, and that looks like the most obnoxious windshield to clean.
Ooh, I hate cleaning windshields.
The Model X was not great, but it was doable still. But that dash, I think it's going to go so far, you have to be like laying on the dashboard to get to the bottom of it.
It'll be like the Honda Odyssey cleaning.
Yeah.
Ben, you mentioned just in our little private chat over here that there's like a big Tesla update or something. Do you know much about it? Can you share? Because I have not researched it.
Yes, we have the Tesla holiday update dropping right now. I'm just going to kind of read the release notes. We have Light Show, a new toy box feature. This is, by the way, on a Model 3.
Yep.
Yeah, this is on a Model 3. So now they've got presumably the same Christmas light show. That's the hope. And you can do it any time of year, as per the previous one. App launcher, adjustable, like your apps at the bottom, what goes where. It looks like the interface is somewhat changing to be more in line with the new Model S, or somewhat like the new Model S. New controls for wipers, charging, and settings among that. Blind spot camera when you put your blinker on. That's a big one, I think.
Oh, part like this a Honda. Is,
Yeah, like a Honda from 2006.
And TikTok.
TikTok. Most importantly, oh, I was trying to save the best for last there.
Everyone's going
to
crash.
I know. I need to go get my Tesla. You can now precondition the car with it at a low state of charge. You couldn't do before. It was very annoying, especially if you're a big traveler. You know, oh, it's below 20%. You can't hit climb it on your phone now.
What's the new limit now?
It just gives you an option to override. So
that's amazing. That's perfect for dog mode. You can never do dog mode.
Yeah.
So many times I've needed that.
It says it will remain unavailable for extreme low charge scenarios. Automatic seat heating based off temperature as well. That's kind of cool. Dark mode. I feel like we had that with the day night toggle, but I don't know. Oh, you got dark mode now too.
It's a hedgehog. Look at that.
Yeah, it said TikTok is available in park. So I guess they solved that.
Oh, there's the cold weather improvement.
It'd be funny if they could let you record access Sentry footage for recording your own TikToks. They'd be really boring, but yeah.
There's another weird Tesla news, which is that they're apparently now selling some 2021 cars with old batteries that they just
had lying around.
Did you see that was screenshots of the order site?
Yeah, but it's only for used ones. And I think it's just Model 3s were built from 2017 onwards. Therefore, the battery pack might be as old from 2017. I think it was their mistake in wording that on all of the cars.
That would be my hope.
I don't think they're putting old battery packs on these things.
Do you think they're just now including a degradation disclaimer for all demo or pre-owned vehicles? I think they're demo cars in this case.
Yeah, I think they're just all, 12%. It's not even 12% degradation. It says 12% from current vehicles. And they've had range improvements and larger battery packs now. I think it's just to cover their butts because they had too many Karens buying the cars. I might be wrong, but I'm giving Tesla the benefit of the doubt on this one.
Well, the screenshot I'm looking at has a, let's see here, 2021 Model 3 is the thing.
Yeah,
but then it says 550 miles on it as an odometer
car.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it says in our used inventory, Model 3s might have a battery pack as old of 2017, and it might have up to 12% range loss compared with what's coming off the line today, which is very possible considering any used Model 3 could be as old as a late 2017 car.
Yeah, well,
I think they worded that to cover themselves.
Yeah,
and as a whole. Though. Not necessarily saying that, but I agree with Kyle. They worded it poorly.
I don't know if Jordan knows what the link is.
Since it's like a 21 demo model, that's why I think it's weird because they're kind of giving a specific thing.
I bet that's not a well done. Any used Model 3 in inventory?
It might be now.
Yeah. I can't imagine they're putting old battery packs in them.
Let's be realistic. We've both seen some shocking things done.
Yeah, but I mean, we've seen reman packs go into Model S all the time, and they have loaner packs. And those could be varying in age, of course. But I think this is just for them to cover their butts on the used side.
So it does say brand new 2021 Model 3.
I think this – so, yeah. But both of those cars have miles.
They're both used in some way.
Yeah. Demo vehicle.
Yeah. I think that's just any used car or any car with miles.
What I find interesting is they say maybe up to 12% lower due to battery age. Like that number 12 is kind of odd, you know, rather than your mileage may vary kind of simply.
I think that's why they looked at the fleet average and said, oh, 12% is the worst average. Anything worse than that, we'll just sell to auction.
Yeah, that's a little strange.
I'm not a Tesla defending guy here. You guys know this, but I really think that this is just all blown out of proportion. And I do know that someone who's very close with Tesla confirmed to me that it is just on used cars and it is just a disclaimer. The question is, it's still possible that a used car got a remanufactured pack from 2018 long range, whatever it is. And it might happen on one-off cases, but who cares? Like, as long as the battery pack's good, who cares where it came from?
Yeah.
No, I'd agree with that part. I think they needed to have presented it in a better way than, you know, that's the problem with Tesla, because they'll present something and then there's, Well, the way it reads, and you can see it by the articles that have been written about it, is that, oh, they have leftover batteries that they're putting, or older batteries that are going into these cars potentially. That's the way people are connecting the dots.
And I what think I some think people they should have had and then rolled with it. That's what happened.
Yeah, well, that's the current media
people reading it because it's much. Tesla. So I mean, people are going to read into it more so than most other manufacturers do.
That's why I think they gave too much info. Almost, they should have said, due to age and driving, range varies.
The PR department.
There we go.
Yeah.
If we just had someone's number to call. Yeah.
They still have PR folks there. I don't know why people say there aren't. There are marketing and PR folks.
Well, it's because it's themselves. I say we don't have a marketing team.
Yeah, but they call them something different. They're like community outreach or something like this.
It was like I used to work at an Apple service provider, and it was like a weird small business thing. And my boss, someone would call to ask for my boss to complain about something, and then he would answer the phone and say, "The boss is not there." That's what I pictured Tesla PR doing to certain people.
Yep. No, we don't have a PR team. Hang up.
Yeah, they do. And honestly, I think Tesla's taking the right approach with all this. To be totally honest, I think they've got it figured out.
Wow. They sell a ton of cars for a reason.
Yep. They don't need a PR. I mean, like, honestly, same thing with tax incentives. Look, maybe I'm in the wrong. Tesla's proved you don't need tax benefits to sell electric cars or infrastructure and be profitable. Screw the whole thing for everyone else. If you can't make a competitive product, good luck to you.
So is anyone else?
And you can keep raising the price.
Yeah.
Besides Tesla, has anyone else run out of their tax credits?
GM.
GM.
Yeah. Yeah. How many is that?
200,000.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then it ramps down over a 12-month period of time.
Mm-hmm. So Leaf still hasn't hit that?
Correct.
No.
But they're close.
Yeah, they've got to be close.
They've got to be close.
And the Aria will definitely pass that.
Well, oh, yeah. You want to be.
Well, maybe. I don't know. They're like 100. What are they, like 60 grand?
Yeah.
They're priced so poorly when compared to Ioniq 5 and ID4.
I'm so curious to drive an Aria because it would have to be really good in something. Otherwise, yeah.
I don't think it will be.
No reason.
Well, the new Nissan products are getting really good. You know, the new whatever looks good in the Frontier and the Pathfinder and the Rogue. You know, maybe they're onto something here.
I can finally tell you about a car that I don't want to forget about talking about, which is the Mercedes AMG EQS 53. And it has to be in that order.
Okay. That, how was the...
It's a long title.
That.
Yeah, how was the that? It was not ruined, which was the biggest thing. I was like, AMG's going to ruin this car. And it's just going to be stiff. And they changed everything. This car has completely new bushings, completely new rear subframe, rear carriers, control arms, motor tuning and calibration, and even extra copper for more windings. They literally test every fuse that goes into this car and put the best ones in there. And then they have a totally different battery internal wiring that have larger and thicker bus bars to handle more current. They use the same cooling system, but replaced all the pumps at higher rates of speed. They have higher temperature limitations so that you can run harder for longer. And they say it'll do laps of the Nürburgring before it overheats. You can get a carbon ceramic brake option on the car. They went insane. And then you can get 22-inch wheels on this thing. 21 is standard. 22s is the big one. Looks great on the 22s. And you do lose a degree of rear steering on the AMG. So it goes from 10 to 9 because the wheels are too big.
Yeah.
So,
well, this sounds like a really major improvement. And it's going to be well noticed by the people.
It's a lot of little things.
And I think they'll really notice this at the drag light or like stoplight to stoplight drag race they do in Naples, Florida, and no other track you said it will ever see.
It's not intended as the track car. So I had dinner with the not only the head of AMG globally, but also the EQS AMG product manager. We were nerding out about regen through ABS and ESP calibrate, all the weird stuff, you know, that has a terrible brake pedal, really bad brake pedal feel. And that's really the only thing I can point at, you know, objectively and say that's bad. And it's not much better on the AMG, even though they have a different eye booster that runs at higher pressures and things like this. By the way, 300 kilowatt regen in that car, which is higher than anyone on a 400 volt system. And it can do regen through ABS.
Very impressive.
Yeah, really impressive.
So Kyle, you've driven both, right?
I've driven all three. EQSs. Yeah.
Does the AMG 53 EQS, I know that's a little backwards, does it make, is it dramatically different in the standard one?
Zero difference.
That's what I was afraid you were going to say.
There is no difference at all.
And so no, it's like, the, ever like the difference. EQS. So yeah, it's like,
and I would have one, to be honest. So I was curious, like, is it worth spending the extra money for the AMG? But it doesn't sound like it is.
You get a base one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it has plenty of features anyway.
It's like the S-Class we had with the AMG Line package, which gave you the same crappy floor mats, but with the AMG badge on the floor.
Well, it's more than that. Like, you can still do that AMG Line in the 580 and the 450. But, like, it's a real, like, AMG reworked carbon ceramic brakes. Like, they went out of their way. It's tuned up a bit. When you, there's a, you know, a Sport Plus mode that really firms things up. It's got the most amazing launch control system. I mean, amazing in a terrible way, where it literally sounds like Star Wars and it pulses the motor. So you go left foot hard on the brake, floor it with the right, race start comes up. Your seatbelt yanks back on you. It pulses the motors like this. So you're sitting there going, boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, oh my God, why is it broken? And then you hear this, like, I don't know, spaceship noise in the cabin. And then as you lift off the brake pedal, there's two different sound modes, but in one of them, it literally is the exact same sound as a lightsaber hit. So I can only imagine in the German meetings, yes, we must make the EQS sound totally special when we launch, and it will have the Star Wars noise when you take your foot off the brake pedal. And so they are, they must just be losing their minds over this. They must love it, but it's so dumb.
I want, like, cars to allow you to upload, I mean, Tesla's close to that, but to upload your own launch control sound. Mm-hmm. I would love that. I would do some weird stuff.
Oh, God. I hate everything about that. Let me hear that.
Yeah,
you know what the best launch control said is in an electric car is the Plaid. That thing sounds healthy when you get on the throttle. It's amazing.
It's just a little high-pitched motor noise and all the G-force.
All the G-force, inverter wind, motor noise, tires grappling at the pavement. It's so good. And then you get in the EQS and it's like someone tried to explain to Germans what fun would be, and they think this is like the craziest thing ever.
We did a corporate trip to Disneyland, yeah?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Mountain.
Yep. And they make such a big deal of this sound. And it's not really the US team, it's the global team. So they have like big signs at the press presentation that's like, sounds like an AMG. I'm like, I don't think that's a good thing. Like, make it sound the way it should sound, which is like nothing. Some electric motor wide. But yeah, moral of the story is the 53, not worth it, in my opinion. Here's the good news though. If you do walk into the dealer and you're like, I don't know, our friend Joseph McCabe, and you're like, I want the best one. You're not going to give up on the daily driving stuff. It's still going to drive nice and comfortably. It does everything the regular EQS can. You've just given Mercedes more money for it.
Yeah. I appreciate how nerdy the changes are that they did to it. Like, it's pretty impressive. Not a lot of manufacturers would do that.
Totally agree. They did go out of their way to try and it's not like the Tesla Model S dual motor to Plaid. This is like a rework.
Yeah. It sounds like pretty intense. I mean, they put a lot of effort into making it different in a lot of little ways.
Different seats, different interior. Like, there's other stuff. I have a whole, 20-page document going through all of the changes. I mean, there's tons.
They gave you that because they needed to justify that they changed things because the end result felt a little too similar.
I don't know if, like, many journalists...
It's like showing your work.
I have to read some other reviews because I'm curious what others think about it. But talking to some journalists after the drive, some were like, yeah, that was just the same car as before. Others were like, it's so fast. It's the crazy. And I'm like, it's not that fast. It's really not.
It's quick enough. What is the Mercedes EQS 53 AMGs? Did I get it right?
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
3-2, 3-3, something like that.
That's 3-4. That feels fast.
Yeah.
Model 3 performance fast.
Yeah, it feels like my Model 3 performance, and like at high speed, it still pulls. But like, it's an EQS. Why are you ripping it around?
Yeah, well, that's my thing. If I get an EQS, it's because I just want to go down the road in silence and comfort and not have the world bother me. Like,
yeah,
that's
like
all
if
I
you
want
to go fast, buy a Taycan or an e-tron GT. Don't buy this.
Yeah,
or if you want to go comfortably and still have plenty of power, just buy an EQS 450 or 580.
Yep, that's what I would do. Rear wheel drive, 450.
Can you slide the rear wheel drive one or no?
Yes, but it's cool. The ESP isn't fully off.
Oh, it's so it's normal Mercedes.
Yeah, in the AMG though, it's full off.
Ooh. Oh, well, that's a good reason to purchase it. That's the reason I bought my Model 3 was for track mode. So it's the same kind of logic to me. Yeah,
and it's pretty snappy.
Makes it exciting. Yeah, the Taycan's a little snappy anyway, so
Taycan's pretty
snappy. Already getting my practice in.
You got to be quick with your wheel and throttle movements in these cars. That's just because there's no big heavy mass of inertia that you're sliding around. It's like very mid-engine like, where you have to be right on the edge the whole time. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, I want to drive one for sure.
Well, I'm going to take a nap in one. I don't have the urge to drive one. I just want to take a nap in one and wake up 800 miles further down the road. Do they really?
Yeah.
What's it do?
It's called energizing comfort and the nap function that plays noise canceling and music and closes the shades and puts the seat heater on with a nice massage. And you just go,
The X5 can do that too.
Yeah, the X5 had that sort of a thing. Where it like
it didn't have the nap specific, but all BMWs have energizing comfort.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very weird.
It's a little over the top.
The X5 in this one has a new energizing comfort profile that I've never seen before because I don't really drive a lot of the high end BMWs often. It's called executive mode.
Well, we had that one too, I think. Yeah.
And it plays very trendy executive-y music.
I think it was showing like buildings, like skyscraper buildings on the screen, if I remember correctly.
Buildings and cities.
Because that's an executive thing to be in the city.
Yep.
I guess it's better. It's more interesting than the background of a Zoom meeting or something, which is probably the new setting for that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Germany's still a bit old school when it comes to that world.
Yep.
Anyway.
Well, yeah. Thanks for everyone for joining us.
Yeah.
Check out everything we're up to at Out of Spec on Twitter, and you'll find me at Jordan_Schieffer. Kyle is at It's Kyle Connor. Ben is Benji_OOS, and Mike is M_Breeling. So thanks so much for joining us. And if you have Christmas in your part of the world, Merry Christmas, and we'll see you all very soon.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.